Good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going. Now we're officially live.
Good deal.
Yeah. So first and foremost, this is like officially, I guess, our official first podcast with sponsors. So we're pretty
cool.
Yeah, we're pretty excited for it. I don't know if you've seen, we made a funny reel joking about, you know, we were like, hey, let's take a second to listen to give a shout out to our sponsors. And then we did this. And then I was like, no, we don't have any sponsors. Well, that blew up and now people reached out to us. So first and foremost, we'll give a shout out to Contractor Accelerator because they were our first ones that reached out to us. If you guys are looking for a good CRM program, we use Contractor Accelerator here and they are fantastic. And if you use the little promo code there at the bottom, Eubanks Fencing, you get 10% off your monthly bill. So Amanda and Jennifer, they are great people. They'll take care of you guys and they will listen to you on any request that you have. So, so that's Contractor Accelerator. And then we also have Quick Pull. So I'm sure a lot of you fence guys have used Quick Pulls, which they are not only for fence people. So if you guys want to do some gardening stuff and need to pull some trees and shrubs out of the ground or anything like that, get a hold of Quick Pull. And they will take care of you guys. They are woman owned and veteran owned. So they're great people. Randy and Kelly, they have a nice little system. Have you seen their Quick Pull before, Caleb?
I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, yeah. It's a nice little like tripod. So it gives you good leverage. And then you only need one person to really do anything. And I forget how many pounds of force it has, but man, it is a ton and my guys love it. It keeps all their backs feeling great. So they're not getting tired and stuff from doing that. We already got somebody hopping in here.
Feeling great. So they're not getting tired and stuff.
I'm trying to find it and share it, man. So
no, you're good. You're good.
There it is.
Spence, Steven Spence. What's going on, man? He said, I will be in Nashville tomorrow, Caleb.
Oh, cool.
Is he looking to hang out?
It's a wild town, man. Be careful down there.
Yeah.
We stay in the hills.
Yeah. It says that Quick Pull will pull more than my MT-100. So you guys heard it there. Spence isn't too far from me. He's probably, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. We actually, we're in the same market. But there you go. He likes the Quick Pull, but he's got a bad back though. He's getting old. He's a little older than I am. So. But yeah, so Caleb, we appreciate you being on to talk to everybody about stain and, you know, your expertise and all that. So first and foremost, how'd you get started in stain?
Man, I'm a fence guy. I grew up, family had a fence company here in Nashville. And, you know, when everybody else went to pay it, you know, for summer break, I went to build fences and I hated it. And at the time and looking back, I wouldn't trade anything for it. So it gave me a lot of grit, a lot of determination, a lot of persistence, and a lot of threshold for hard, you know, just things that a lot of people think are hard, you know, fence guys just don't even, it doesn't even register. And so very thankful for that, but I got into the fence business, you know, just was sort of born into it and just started staining because, I wanted to make more money. Basically, I wanted to get out of the fence business because I did it for so long, and I found myself kind of sort of right back in it through staining fences.
Yeah, maybe we should write that down. Let's stop doing fence and we'll start staining everything. So make more money that way. No, I do have to agree with you. Fencing, you know, I talk to people a lot too, and I'm like, fencing is one of those jobs where you literally deal with all the elements because sometimes it's freezing outside. Sometimes like now it's, you know, 95 degrees outside and everybody's sweating like no other. Mm-hmm. So where, you know, your office people or things like that, usually it's a controlled environment. So they don't have to worry about all that. So nothing like getting sunburnt and then having to go back out in the sun the next day to get roasted again.
Yeah, but the heat's not even the hard part about fencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the weather's nothing, right? Compared to. Yeah, you know, you're going to be building the fence in the middle of this field for the next 4 days. It's solid rock and there's no shade and you can't get out of, you know, you're just in it. There's nothing you can do. So my heart and applause go out to all the guys that are still boots on the ground building fence, man. It's an awesome trade.
Yeah, it is. And so let me ask you, so obviously now we know how you got started. So how long did it take you while you're in the stain industry to really start seeing big success? Or did you start off and everybody's like, yeah, well, let's buy a bunch of stain?
Yeah, so I guess big success is depends on where you're standing, right? So I think that I had a good bit of success early on just because of my time in the fence business. You know, when I built fence for a long time and then I sort of ran a fence business for a long time. I did the sales nonstop for about 10 years in the fence business. And so I knew, you know, there was a lot that I didn't know, but there was a ton of stuff that I learned through the fence business. So I was able to sort of step out of one business and into another. And I sort of started part-time and stayed in the fence business for a while before going full-time. And so I was just able to draw on that experience and have some success. You know, I already had a good customer base because if you build fence for a living and then you start staining fences, the customers are the same, or a lot of them are. And you quote the jobs very similarly. You have labored the same. You know, there's just a lot of similarities in a lot of the trades. And so it may seem like I had some success fast, but I think it was just right time, right place at the right time, right? So,
yeah.
Tipping my hat to the fence business,
it really
gave me that head start.
So, are you mostly selling to the fence guys? Or do you, I mean, I guess you probably have a bunch of deck guys too.
We have like a little portfolio of companies. So we have a service business, and in our service business, that's Stain and Seal Experts. You've heard of it. That's sort of where we started. We stain fences and decks and log homes, and we do fences, decks and log homes and patio covers, overhead things, you know, you name it.
Yeah. Actually, I just seen something on a pergola.
Yeah. We're doing, I think our guys are on one today actually, but, we do that business, and that business is great. You know, we get to get out in the field. We get to stain stuff. We get to talk to customers. It's fun. Now our manufacturing business, where we make stain, you know, the Expert Wood Care, the hat that I'm wearing here, we sell that through a lot of channels. So that product we sell through, you know, Stevens Pipe and Steel. We sell it through different fence supply places, paint stores, Benjamin Moore paint stores, staindepot.com, fencearmor.com, amazon.com. You know, it's available on all those places. And we've got a Stain and Seal Expert store where we sell staining supplies as well. And so kind of all over, but mostly you got to go to an authorized retailer to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much anybody, I mean, Amazon everywhere. So any DIYers out there, fence guys, it doesn't matter how big you are or anything. You can hop on Amazon and buy you some. And we use it. We have a pre-stain machine. So we use it. I bought that actually in Vegas, I think, when I was at the fence show. Yep. So we bought it out there. It's been great for us. Since I have you here, I'll ask you. So a 5-gallon bucket, how much fence does that typically cover?
Well, it depends, right? So usually we're hearing, I mean, most guys, our experience and then what most of the guys are telling us, between 75 and 100 feet.
Yeah.
If you spray it, it's about 50 feet. So you can generally get 50 to 100% as much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and does it matter too, which obviously I know the answer to this, but does it matter if it's cedar wood or pre-stain or treated?
Well, yeah, it does, but you know, sometimes cedar sucks up a lot more stain and sometimes pine sucks up a lot more stain. So I think somebody may correct me if I'm wrong, but if memory serves me best, new cedar will soak up more than new pine, but old pine will soak up more than old cedar. So it's kind of funny how that works. But yeah, just the staining business is like every other business. When things surprise you, you'll stain 10 fences in a row. And you'll have a pretty good idea of what your stain usage is, and then your fence number 11 will soak up 20% or 30% more, or use 30% less, and you're scratching your head. So It's just, yeah. You know, lumber's so different.
Man, we had a nightmare of a time. It was in the winter. It was probably around, I don't know, February or so. So it was still pretty cold, but we had some treated lumber. And I think I might have even called you. But man, it took like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks to dry out. And we were like, dude, this is taking forever. And we had never had to deal with that as far as, you know, it being that wet. And which luckily the customer was completely understanding and stuff. So they were cool with it. But I was like, and then I messaged you and I think you told me, you said, man, I've heard as long as 6 to 8 weeks. And I was like,
holy. Yeah, it's tough. You got to turn it over and turn it over with pine to get it to dry. Yeah. But cedar's easier than kiln dried lumber, you know, obviously is what mm-hmm. we recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing is a lot of people know, but maybe they don't know, you have a fence stain university. So can you let us know when the next one is?
Sure. You know, well, the next one is going to be announced very soon. We're going to probably do one in late August or early September, a virtual staining university, which seems sort of silly, but a lot of guys can't get away during the season. And so if we can pick a rainy day and we can get a bunch of speakers in here and do some demonstration live, just like this, mm-hmm. it really actually has a good feedback on that. And then we'll be at the FWA show, Fence Workers Associated Fence Show.
Yeah.
We'll be doing some training there. So some hands-on stuff. So nice. I guess you could call that a miniature version. And then various, I think in November, we're doing one at Destin or San Destin down in Florida. Panhandle Power Wash Show. And of course, we'll be at Fence Tech and then Staining University. The big one in Nashville will be in February.
Nice. So did you just make an announcement that virtual one was the first time? This first time anybody knows about it?
I think probably so.
Okay. That's I should have done the
yeah,
and then let you announce it.
There you go. Yeah.
But no, that's awesome, man. I'll be honest. I would love to do a virtual because, again, it gets so dang busy and sometimes it's hard to just pop away, especially when, you know, I'm probably one of a smaller guy and there's more hands-on stuff that I do than some of the, you know, more well-known people in our industry that can just step away and have guys that can to run the business while they're gone. So hopefully we're getting there. So I'll give a shout out to my Purple Coaching guys, Robert and Michael Whitaker. Give a shout out to them. So, but yeah, so with Stain University and stuff, you guys also have a new facility, right? You guys been there for a couple months now?
Yeah, we did. We built it ourselves. I don't know if we'll ever do that again, but we did it ourselves. And so lots of love for the team that got together on that. But yeah, we moved in January and it's great. We love it.
Yeah. Is it much more room and stuff? Is that why you guys did it? Yeah.
Well, it's a ton more. It's 10 times more room, but we've outgrown it already. So
really
every time I do something, I've learned the lesson, but my experience share for if you're building a new facility or buying a new software or upgrading a piece of equipment is you're going to, you know, especially if it takes time to get order bigger than you think you need, because you're always going to outgrow. You're going to grow faster than you think. So,
which that's a great thing. Yeah. That's awesome, man, that you guys grew that much more. Cause I mean, you guys are already pretty big. So, I mean, literally, we're not going to speak of those other guys, but a lot of times whenever I hear about Stain, I mean, your guy's name is right there in the conversation. So,
yeah, I mean,
you keep growing. Well, that's crazy.
You know, it's the Sherwin-Williams and PPG are both like over $15 billion. So, yeah. I mean, none of us in the fence business that make or manufacture sell stains, we can't let our heads get too big because none of us we're all tiny, tiny, tiny players. And so I recommend that all of us extend the olive branch here, you know, and try to work together because, you know, big corporations sometimes can go after smaller groups and have power against them. So the best way to conquer people or conquer a people is to divide them and get them against one another. So I'm always for let's stand together and work together. So
we can talk about that. That's awesome. Yeah, that's how we've always done stuff here, which obviously I'm up here in Indianapolis. But we're always, you know, talking with the guys. Obviously, Spence was in here chatting and stuff. Him and I talk probably, I don't know, once every week or once every 2 weeks, just to kind of go over things and stuff and like discuss, you know, what things are, how things are going. He's come to the shop and got some material from me. I've got some from him. So yeah, we always work together and stuff. At least here we do. So I'm sure there's other parts
of
the country.
You need more of that, man. You really do. You really need that. And it's crazy. Man, I tell a story. I tell this story a lot. And I'll tell it again if you don't mind. But
yeah, go ahead.
This is a true story. There was three painting contractors in Detroit, Metro Detroit. They got together and they were hanging out and talking. And these were big, big companies. They were all over $5 million in revenue for painting, you know, doing repaint houses, which is a pretty good sized company. And these guys decided that they would try to figure out how much market share that they had. And so they figured that they had somewhere between 80 and 90% market share between the three of their businesses. And so they called their Sherwin-Williams paint salesman rep and asked, how much paint did you sell in the last year in Metro Detroit? And the answer that he gave them let them know that they were about 1% to 2% of the market.
Wow.
And so that just goes to show there's so much market that's there, and then there's so much market that's untouched. It's foolish for people to really look at another person as taking food off their table. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that there's some things that happen, and there's bad blood that gets between people if people don't have good integrity. But most people out there are good people, just trying to do the right thing. And a lot of your reputation depends on my reputation, right? So if you got one guy coming in making things hard for everybody else, it shows. So I think if we all just do a really good job of taking care of our customers, the word will get out that fence people or stain people are just good people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not as bad as people think.
Yep.
So, which speaking of that, you know, FWA, I think, has done a great job at trying to get people brought together and get different things, like people to work together. And then speaking of that, Susan K. Worley, hey, y'all. What's going on, Susan? Susan's awesome. She's messaged me a couple times. About various things and stuff. And she's just always willing to give a hand and help people out. That's exactly what you're talking about and what we need in the industry, which is great, to get people rolling together. So, we'll go ahead and take a second, 'cause I think we're about halfway. I'm not as cool as, Gentry and those guys where they got their own commercials that they're running and stuff.
I don't know
if you've seen that. Yeah. They're like, they're in the middle of it. It hits a button. You know, and then he presents this commercial and it's like a little, you know, I don't know, 15, 30 second video where it's just a commercial. And I'm like, dude, that's pretty sweet.
You know, I can show you how to do that on StreamYard. You can do that yourself, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You mean like the present thing?
Yeah. Just your intro, just the intro you did, the countdown.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just throw one there.
Oh yeah.
Who is it that you said was doing that?
The Gatekeepers podcast.
Oh yeah. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good dudes too, man. I like them, Billy and Corey. They're good dudes. So we'll take a second and let everybody know. If you're not yet, use Contractor Accelerator because they're awesome. So we use them, super easy to use. It's helped us grow tremendously because you can send over a professional bid, and then, I mean, homeowners love it. They see it and they're like, oh wow. I mean, some homeowners at first were a little weirded out by it because it does do a Google shot of the front of their house. But then they're like, oh, that's cool. That's my house. So just let my customers know that's not me taking a picture. It's from Google. So, but yeah, they're awesome. They will take care of you guys. You guys use Eubanks Fencing and they'll get 10% off your order to be with them. So, and then we'll also give a shout out to, oh, there it is. Eubanks Fencing, 10% off. We'll also give a shout out to QuickPool. If you guys are not using a QuickPool, help your team out and use a QuickPool. Randy and Kelly will take care of you guys. Super easy to use, and it's a one man operation or woman. because literally it's that easy that anybody can use it. Doesn't it can be a 15-year-old kid that's not very strong, and you know, he can use it on a fence post and pull it right out. So it's nice. But yeah, so that, I guess that pays the bills. So we'll get back into it. And then obviously we have in the fence industry, you have a ton of homeowners that are always like, you know, they get the price for a fence and then they're like, I think I might try to do it myself, or DIYers. So we're not opposed to that because we know fencing is expensive. And but now we stand by what we do, and I feel like we do it pretty well from the buildings standpoint. So what are some tips that you can give homeowners that maybe not want to pay for a fence guy or something like that to come out, and some tips you can give them to stain their fence?
You know, before you completed the question, my mind, I thought you were going to ask a different question. So let me answer the slightly different question.
Okay.
And basically the thought process was building quality into your job, whether it be a fence or a deck or whatever, and then, and then comparing price. And the thought, my mind just instantly went to Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people generally buy a Toyota car or truck?
I feel like because they last forever.
And they typically will pay a little more for a Toyota than they would for a Nissan or for a Chevrolet, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great example of quality that's going to last with a proven track record. Mm-hmm. People will pay more money for it. And so I thought the question you were going to ask me was, how can we build more value into our fences and then overcome that pricing objective? And I don't know why I thought you were going to ask that, but that's what I thought you were going to ask. And so my thought process on that was, first, I thought of Toyota. And then I thought, well, a lot of contractors always say, well, we don't want to stain our fences because we want them to fall down. We want to replace them. We want to have work, guaranteed work to come back in. And then the same thing with post saver sleeves or with steel post or pre-stained lumber or cedar lumber or vinyl fencing. Why would we install that? Because we won't get to come back and redo it in 7 to 10 years. And I think my thought process, the reason it went to Toyota was Toyota outsells everything because it's quality. And so I was just sitting there thinking, if you're a contractor and if you build quality into your stuff, you're not going to have to worry about getting repeat business because the word's going to be out that you know, if you see a fence with that red or blue or green sign, whatever color your sign is, and it means quality. And you can't have that in your logo, I don't think, because Toyota never says anything about quality. They've just done it. Yeah. Their actions spoke louder than their words. So I think if contractors just really focus on that, that's a good thing. And I think when they do that, homeowners will then see the value in it. You know, in our town, Rio Grande Fencing, they don't do much residential, or really they don't advertise any residential anymore unless you're a family member or you know somebody, you know. But everybody's seen Rio Grande. And
they're huge.
There's bigger companies out there for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
They are sizable and they're good people and they've been around forever. But their sign, Rio Grande Fence, you know, you would think it was in Texas because Rio Grande, but it's right here in Nashville. And in Nashville, back when I was in the fence business, and this still rings true today, everybody knows that Rio Grande's the most expensive. There's no question about it. Yet, everyone calls Rio Grande. Yeah. And that sign, there's Rio Grande signs that they collect now that are left over from the 60s that are in people, you know, you'll see a fence that's 60, 50, 60 years old, and there's a Rio Grande fence sign on it. And it just... it's been here so long in Nashville, and there's so much quality built into that name that they don't have to build cheap fences and they don't have to charge cheap prices and they don't have to explain themselves because everybody knows the quality's there. So I guess, you know, in my world, a lot of contractors say, well, why would I stain my fence or why would I install post saver sleeves or something? And that's pretty much my answer.
Yeah. Is
quality, you know, will outlive everything else. So why not?
Word of mouth business is the best because usually a word of mouth business. They already have the intention of using you because their friend or whoever it is that told them about you, they already have confidence in them. Like if one of my good friends came and said, hey, use this window guy, he's great. If I'm looking for a window guy, I'm going to use that guy because I know. So yeah, word of mouth stuff is fantastic, which I was going to ask you, Rio Grande, Fence Tech Nashville, were they the company that like they went up like the escalator and it was like a sea of red? Is that them?
Yeah, probably so. Rio Grande's been around forever. They, you know, Leroy Smith started it with, and he started Capital Wholesale also. And they got red trucks. Smith family owns and runs it, and good people.
Yeah.
But yeah, red trucks. They got the fence sign. It's a white sign with a red stripe at an angle, and then it says Rio Grande on it.
Yeah. Keeping it simple too.
Yep.
So let's see, what else do we have here? I was going to ask you. So I think I told you when we were offline, I'm colorblind. So what is something that us colorblind guys, or maybe other people that aren't familiar with stain too much, what is the different color? Like, so when you send your sample, those are all cedar samples, correct? Mm-hmm. So what does the color look like when it's untreated? Is it how does it change or does it change? I mean,
it's a slight difference. And so what I found out is when I was staining, just working in the trenches as a staining contractor, was it didn't matter what brand stain I used. If I had small wooden samples and I showed them to people, it didn't really give near as good an indication of what the color was as good photos did. So what we do and what we recommend is that if you like the color cedar tone, I'm going to show you four or five photos of cedar tone on fences that's the same species of yours in shade and in full sun. And if you can see three, four or five photos of that, it'll give you a really good indication of what yours is going to look like. And that always just seems to work better for us as far as for letting people know what it's going to look like. And we could show pine photos, we can show cedar photos, and we got resources for that. And then if you're a contractor doing it, you'll eventually build your own portfolio of stuff to go off of. But if you're colorblind, man, I got one answer for you. Just say pecan. It's the number one top selling color. You know, these paint and stain manufacturers, they always release these press releases and say like the number one stain color of 2024 was eucalyptus gray. And it's like, it's such a lie. It's their marketing department's on just their own drugs, because the number one color is like cedar tone and brown. You know, those are the colors. They're timeless colors. So generally most people will go for some sort of cedar tone color or a medium brown color or a dark brown. And then every once in a while you'll throw a gray or a black in there. And that generally does, you know, most people. And so pecan for us is a number one selling color. It's sort of a medium brown. If you're colorblind, just tell them pecan. I recommend pecan because it outperforms everything by, you know, a metric ton. So chances are, if you recommend that, it's probably going to look pretty good.
Yeah. And that's what we typically say, pecan. But now we did have a guy the other day, or I guess not the other day, it was probably, we just did his fence maybe 2-3 weeks ago, but he went with Auburn, which I was going to ask you, and then I'll tell you about the color we created. So how many fence colors do you guys offer?
You can use our stain on fences, decks, cabins, whatever. So in our standard blue label stain and seal product line, we have 19 colors. And then we've got a log and timber formula that's made for like log homes. We've got 10 colors there. So 29 in total.
So we made color 30, our number 30. So I have a guy, he's a 19-year-old kid. He's back in town from college, plays baseball. But he came back and I was like, hey, we got a great job for you. We got some pre-stain jobs coming up. Let's go ahead and get these things stained and go. So he starts staining and I'm like, all right, cool. You got that one done. Now we need the Auburn job. And he's like, huh? Well, he mixed Auburn and pecan and made his own color and was staining all the boards. And I was like, so then I had to call both customers. Hey, we've got to actually order more stain because my guy created his own color. So, which apparently it was brownish, but I guess had like a really red tint to it.
So is the fence at your house that color now?
No, no. I know that's what, which we're moving right now, so it's kind of weird, but we can't have wood in our new neighborhood. So, but yes, I thought about, I was like, man, we got to use this somewhere. So I might give somebody a discount and say, hey, I've got some discounted stuff. If you like this color,
a great color, I wouldn't discount it. And it's a lot of guys actually make that blend. It's not bad. It'll look good.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was like,
mix all our colors together. So people, it's sort of unlimited choices.
Yeah. I was like, man, I'm colorblind and I could tell these are two different colors. And I was like, and it has the name right here on the label on the side. And he's like, oh, nobody told me. And I was like, so just a young college kid, not paying attention.
And this is what we deal with, isn't it?
Yeah. He's probably TikToking or something, I'm sure. But yeah. So, which I was going to ask you too, for us fence guys, obviously if you go to Fence University, you probably talk about all this stuff. So again, if you want to drop your Fence University stuff, because obviously people are watching the show, they go in and out and stuff. So if you want to drop that, and then I'll tell you my question after that.
Yeah, I'll try to drop it. It looks like I'm not able to. Let's see.
Oh, you have like something to share on there?
Well, actually, I know you can still see me, but I can't see you. Yeah. I've done something.
See, this is where we need the college kid to come in here and show us our needs.
Yeah, I'm on my wife's computer today, so it's not logged into any of my social medias. But, man, it's real easy to find us. If Susan is listening, and she's so I know she's such a hard worker, she's probably busy doing something else, but somebody can just write in Staining University. Real simple. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on, Facebook. I mean, I think we've even got a Reddit page. So just nice. Staining University. If you're looking for it on Facebook, it's facebook.com/groups/Staining University. But that's where we keep all of our staining friends together. And we talk about the staining world.
And you got the virtual one here in August, which would be great for people. But like, if they can't, for whatever reason, you guys are making it super easy for everyone to be able to attend this stuff. But if they can't for whatever reason, do you recommend anything, any certain cleaners or anything that you guys use? Do you sell any cleaners?
Yeah, man. I mean, we sell, you know, our company's expert professional wood care. So that means we make cleaners, brighteners, strippers. We make, the machines to stain with, stains themselves. We carry brushes. We sell all kind of stuff for the wood care business. But if you're talking to the homeowner audience, probably the number one cleaning chemical I recommend for wood itself is going to be something they're familiar with. It's sodium percarbonate based cleaner. We make one. A lot of people make them, and you can clean your laundry with it. You can clean your carpet with it. You can, some people use it to oxygenate, water that's depleted of oxygen to save fish if they're low on oxygen. And so it's all around just a safe cleaner to use. It bubbles up, it kills organic growth, does a good job. And that's a great place to start for most people.
Yeah, that's good. For those guys that are spraying, do you recommend a certain sprayer or anything that people should use? Or
It really depends on what stage of business life you are in. Most people start off, doing a DIY project or just get started with a pump up sprayer, and you can pick those up for, $10 at a hardware store. And then you can, the sky's the limit. They make all kind of chemical sprayers. Some guys use like the four wheeler sprayers for spraying weeds that you get at Home Depot or Tractor Supply. Mm-hmm. Pretty much any kind of a 12 volt pump will spray chemicals. It'll spray stain as well. And then, if you're looking for like something that like there's this brand called Chapin. It's Chapin that makes this red metal sprayer. May come in other colors too, but that's a good heavy duty pump up sprayer that you can spray stain with. It works really well. And then, airless sprayers do a fantastic job as well. You can get parts for those just about anywhere. They rarely break down and they're pretty easy to use, easy to clean. Can buy them anywhere, Home Depots, paint stores, you name it.
Yeah, that's I don't trust me or my team to do any spraying because I feel like there's going to be overspray, obviously. And I feel like our luck, we'd get out there and it's going to be like, you know, 20 mile an hour winds and the stains going everywhere.
There's something I will remind you of is you're right. You're a fence guys. You're not painters. So we can show you how to do a lot of that stuff. And then pre-staining can help with a lot, or hiring, you know, maybe you hire you a subcontractor that just does this for a living. But every house that's not brick was painted. Every bridge and overpass was painted. Every commercial building was painted. Everything's been painted. You think about it. And so people that work outdoors and stuff, that do painting and exteriors, they understand how to do this. And so it's not that complicated. I think the problem is that most people that teach this, they teach people that they try to make it look like you're going to get rich quick by making it look so easy and there's nothing to it. You're going to get rich quick. And what generally ends up happening is people jump into the business. They go, man, this is so easy. You don't have to mask anything. You don't do anything. And next thing you know, they get their first job and then they stained a car three houses down, or they got stain all over the house and they can't get it off. And even though they said that you could get it off, it won't come off. We don't know what to do. We had to give this job away. And then you see all this staining equipment for sale on these fence Facebook groups. And a lot of times it just comes down to, man, there is no magic money machine, right? You can't just jump into this. It would be like if somebody told you, oh man, you can go build, you know, you can just buy this pair of pole saw diggers and you can go in the fence business and make $1 million your first year. And most fence guys would say, well, we know better than that, right?
Yeah.
Stain business is the same way, man. You just got to slow down. You got to say, you know what? There's a white house next door. Let's knock on the neighbor's door and ask if we can mask that. There's a car in the driveway. Let's put a disposable car cover over it.
Yeah.
Let's just cover the concrete up with plastic. If you just wet concrete down and then put plastic on it and then wet it down again over top of the plastic, it's not going anywhere. And so we can learn tips and tricks on how to mask things quickly, how to manage overspray, and it can be done. You just got to think about it. You know, you got to have guys that are, you know, I think that's the big difference. I just recorded a podcast a few minutes ago. Just kind of a lot of guys that run businesses, they say, well, I got idiots working for me. Because they don't think. And I go, well, it's not that you have idiots working for you. It's that all last night you were thinking about the job. All this morning you were thinking about the job. On the way to the job, you were thinking how to execute this job. Man, the guys working for you, they're thinking about going fishing. They're thinking about what they're going to do this weekend. They're not thinking. We're not training our guys to actually think through these job sites. And so if you can just get your team to think through, train them on how to think to execute a job, they can go in and mask this stuff off quick. They can go spray. They can, you know, they know when to put the sprayer up and get the brush out or the roller out. And it's not that hard. And most, what I've found is that most fence guys, if you take them from building fence over to staining, they think it's the easiest job they've ever had in the world. And so, so they really like it. You know, there's no rock to break. There's no concrete to carry. A 5-gallon bucket of stain weighs 40 pounds. That's the heaviest thing you're ever going to pick up in the staining business. And so that's a pretty good deal. So it's doable.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we bought the pre-stain machine back, at Fence Show in Vegas, and we love it, man. Cause it's, and I was going to say too, those foam, rollers, you got to be careful with those because sometimes these guys are just jamming them on those foam rollers. Like that wood just tears away at it. And it's like, guys, slow down a little bit. Like, let's run this through here, you know, and get it going. So, but yeah, it's been great for us and we love it. And then, speaking of a legend, Joe Everest, what's going on, man? Great guys here. Obviously everyone knows Joe and you'll be on the show tomorrow. So, just a reminder for you if you didn't know.
I don't think that's the right Joe Everest, man. That must be a different Joe Everest. The guy in that picture is wearing a white or a blue shirt.
Yeah.
Definitely not Joe.
There is no orange to be seen in there. And I'm colorblind, and I can tell. So
I think his wife might have had something to do with his wardrobe that day. Just speculating.
Yeah, he definitely was told what to do. Jeremy Bell, the stain and seal boss, Caleb. Jeremy, Are you saying I don't know anything about stainless steel? No.
So Jeremy's Jeremy works in our in stainless steel experts. He's basically he's moved over from Australia. I think God sent him over to help us grow our business. So he's a great business operator. Had a huge company in Australia, sold it, moved over here, and he's the what is it? COO, Chief Operation Officer for our stainless steel experts.
Nice. Brand
of you know, we're doing like franchise business. So with our service, so he's going to help us really, really take that and help a lot of people with it.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a big move for him to come over here. Joe Everest, just a little bit. The wife had a little bit of say so on that. That's hilarious. We all been there, Joe. We've all had those, this is what you're wearing.
Man, I wouldn't put up with that if I were you, Joe.
That's hilarious. Let's see. So how often should fence guys or general public, DIYers, anybody, how often should they be looking to restain a fence?
Well, if you build a new fence out of pine, Yellowwood, the brand of lumber, Yellowwood recommends staining it 2 to 3 days after it's installed. They've got videos on YouTube claiming that, and who am I to argue with them? And so, you know, generally most lumber comes green and wet, and we want to let it dry. But generally in the summertime, and you know, we've all done it in the fence industry. We've been up against deadlines or things and had to stain a fence that was only a few days old. And generally it goes okay. I recommend that you really focus on moisture content, which is going to be 13% or less moisture content, which can usually be achieved in 2 to 3 weeks after the fence is installed. So anywhere from 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 weeks after it's installed, you're generally in good shape. If it's kiln dried lumber, you can stain it right away. You know, use a moisture meter.
Yeah.
And then I don't like to make claims. You know, we can claim anything we want, but industry standard that's sort of been in the wood care industry for years is that you want to recommend to your clients that you stain flat horizontal surfaces every 2 years. Now staining them every 2 years basically means a maintenance coat. So if this is the floor of a deck, it's got a lot of traffic on it, we're going to touch it up every 2 years, and then vertical surfaces every 4 years is the industry standard. Now, if you really want things to pop and really want things to look like $1 million, you can always do it sooner, but
yeah,
industry standards are 2 or 4 years.
Yeah. And those of you that are like, man, a moisture reader, now I got to invest some more money on this. We hopped on Amazon. It was like $15
and yep,
just typed in wood moisture reader. And then
well, it's resistance. It's measuring resistance. So if you have if you have an electrical voltmeter, you could plug it into the fence on the ohms setting, the resistance setting, and you could get a reading there and cross-reference it over to a moisture reader as well.
Dang, I could have saved $15, man.
Yeah, but then you'd have to Google how to do that. So
I know, right? Like, dang. Joe's got a question. Do you recommend different shades for different fence/deck materials?
Well, sure. You know, I always actually recommend pecan no matter what. It's my favorite color. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, different types of lumber are going to recommend different, you know, we would recommend different things. If you have a brand new pine fence, you know, or cedar fence that's brand new, you might recommend a transparent color if it's something that you really want it to pop and show off. If it's something that you're just looking for longevity and it's brand new, you probably go with a semi-transparent. If it's older wood that you're restoring, then you're going to look at semi-transparents or semi-solid colors. And if it's just really, really old and ugly or mixed match boards, probably a semi-solid would be the way to go. So really not necessarily color, but transparencies is the way we would recommend that.
Yeah. That's good info. Let's see. So you also already hit on, I've got on my notes here that you've already hit on how to get your product. So obviously there's a ton of ways, and the best way, Amazon, they can call you guys. There's distributors all around the country. What was the big one that you said, that has your stuff?
Well, lots, you know, so I guess if you're in the wood care business, Stain Depot is a great place. We've got the Stain and Sew Expert store, fencearmor.com Amazon. There's some resellers on Amazon, several other online stores. Stevens Pipe and Steel, some of the locations carry our stuff. And then a lot of Benjamin Moore stores, Middle Tennessee or Michigan, across the nation. We got Benjamin Moore outlets that carry our products.
And how would you take a guess? How many 5-gallon buckets of stain do you think you're sending out a week?
I can tell you exactly, but I don't want to. it's a pretty substantial number. Yeah. We get so this is a good opportunity to know your numbers. So
yeah.
I get a report from every department in all our companies on Friday, because we do a Friday executive leadership meeting on Fridays. And we basically, you know, a meeting is there to report on things, to approve things or give approval on things. Generally, we don't want to waste time other than that. And so on Friday, we kind of, all the departments get together. We go over our numbers. We make sure we're hitting our goals or KPIs and things like that, and give updates. So you don't got to walk down the hall 10 times. We got everybody right there. You give your updates, I give my updates. And then we check on priorities. And I get a report from every department head that's not in that meeting, and everyone that's in the meeting, on what did we send out, that, you know, what did we sell? So for our shipping and receiving department, I'll get an inventory, an accurate inventory. And then we sent this many pallets, we sent this many buckets, we sent this many staining machines, we sent this many whatever out. And I get those reports every week. And so I think the lesson there would be, you know, same thing you can do with your finance or your bookkeeper or with your crews, whatever, is get them knowing the numbers and get them to report those to you. Maybe give you a little report on what you did. And then, you know, this went well, this went well, this did not go well, and this is coming up next week, as it also with the numbers, you know, cause you want the numbers as well. And, I learned that from Matt Warner, and, I've implemented that in my business, and it's done a really good job for me. So, I don't necessarily know the numbers on how many buckets we sent out right off the top of my head today, but I can, in about 10 seconds, I can
put a number on
it. So, now, it's a good thing to add into your business.
Do you know, do you guys keep track of like where you're sending, like what part of the countries are buying the most stain?
Yeah. I mean, we follow all that stuff, and we have the data. I mean, we drop ship. We have a warehouse that we own and manage, and we send out products for a lot of resellers. So we'll drop ship for a lot of companies, and we know pretty much everywhere it goes. You know, the stores that sell at retail, we don't know. We can't track those buckets once they go to retail. But all the stuff that we drop ship for folks, we definitely are able to track that.
So we got this is actually a basketball coach here in Indianapolis, coaches at Lutheran. He needs an all red fence with white dots. That might be kind of hard.
No, that's easy, man.
Yeah.
Get you some white latex paint and go put all your white dots all over the fence.
Yeah.
And let it dry. And then we make a redwood stain, go stain over top of all of it with redwood. And then the stain will not stick to the white dots. You'll have a red fence with white dots on it.
See, there we go. Figured you could do it. We will do that for you. We will we'll be out there and get that taken care of. So, but yeah, I think that pretty much sums up what I had. You got anything to finish with, or?
Man, I appreciate you getting and doing this, and I hope, you know, I think a lot of times these podcasts and stuff are great to keep up with the industry. But I think more importantly, the reason you probably started doing this was to grow your own business.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily probably to get sponsors or anything like that. It just probably just sort of fell in your lap. But the idea, that's the reason we started our podcast, Stain and Seal Experts podcast, was to just grow our service business. So I just appreciate you doing it. I appreciate seeing it done. And I hope more guys do it. You know, I think it's a good thing to get out there and just talk about the industry and get more people trusting the people in the industry.
Yeah. And that's honestly spot on why we started this. So we started to tell our customers what was going on with Eubanks Fencing at first. And I don't know if Joe's still on here, but I met Joe in person at FenceTech, and he he was like, I kind of told him what I was doing and stuff. And he's like, man, I started a thing called Fence Guy Friday. That's how I officially started. I was like, man, do you care if I do that? And he was like, no, go ahead. And so, yeah, that's essentially why we did it, was to tell our customers and stuff. And then, like you said, man, it's just been it's been growing a lot here recently. And I don't know if you've seen our stuff on social media, but I mean, yes, we love to build fence, but we have fun too. So like our culture, like, you know, I have the guys in TikTok videos and stuff doing goofy things. And, you know, I mean, there's just all kinds of things, and they love to be in these things and stuff. And it's just been, it's been kind of a, it's been a fun time at Eubanks Fencing. And there's Joe, he is still watching. Ask a Fence Guy Friday. See, and that was great. I mean, when talking to Joe, and I know like a lot of people called Joe, and he even hopped on one of these with me, and where we were just talking about stuff and just gave me a ton of information. And kind of goes back to the beginning when you were saying everybody helping everybody out in the industry. And Joe's like one of those guys that will tell you whatever you need to know. So, but yeah, so I guess we'll wrap it up then, and appreciate you being, maybe here in a couple years now, we'll be double in size and you can be the official first guest of the show. So maybe that, we'll get you a plaque or something.
Man, I don't need a plaque. But I appreciate it. I think, you know, it's like anything else. If you focus on doubling the size or 10X in the size of it, man,
yeah,
you'll do it. We tend to do what we focus on, don't we?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and that's what, cause I was on the podcast too with Dan, and we, you know, Powerhouse Podcast is what it is. I was on there with him and he gave me some advice and stuff too. And then I also use his, program for commercial stuff. So, but that's another guy that's willing to help people out. And I mean, he even texted me separately whenever he seen these, sponsors and was like, man, I should make a reel, doing the same thing that you did. And I was like, go ahead, man. It's like the more the merrier. So, but yeah, so appreciate you being on. I think you said you had somewhere to run to. So I don't want to hold you too much and stuff, but you said you will be at the Fence Show in Vegas.
Oh yeah, for sure. We'll be at the Fence Show. Yeah. It, you know, 5 o'clock on Fridays, man, I try to do something with the wife and the family. So we generally jump on that, but I recommend that highly. And, I will make a recommendation to all you guys out there. I'll recommend something that is a little bit on the soft side and vulnerable side, mm-hmm. that changed my life.
Yeah, go ahead.
I recommend, if you can, now I'm at my house and I've got a big long driveway and it's all fenced in and you can walk. And I know some of you guys live in apartments. Some of you guys live in neighborhoods, and maybe you live in a place that you don't want to walk and leave your kids at home at night or whatever. But if you can take 30 to 45 minutes every night and walk shoulder to shoulder with your wife or your partner, your spouse, man, it can really improve your world. You know, we've always had a great marriage, but I started 75 hard several years ago, and I've done it a bunch. I need to do it again. But part of one of my workouts at night was I had to do a 2 45-minute workouts, and one had to be outside. And so generally after the kids would go to bed, I would get my second workout in, but I wanted to spend time with my wife. And she said, well, I'll walk with you. And I thought, well, I don't want to walk. That's not much of a workout, is it? And so I would put on like a heavy pack or something and walk with her. Yeah. But we started this habit, and what we found out was if we just go walk and talk, we talk about everything. We get to know each other and stay in touch. And it is really transformative. And so anytime if we get out of that habit, maybe we get really bad weather for a while or something, we always go, you know what, we got to get back into that habit. And so I recommend putting the phone down, turning the TV off, and go walk with your spouse if you can, because especially if your wife works with you in the business, but you guys are on two different fronts. You know, maybe you're out in the field, maybe she's in the office, man, there's no better way to get on the same page than to just take that time and make that habit to walk every night. It'll change your life. So yeah, that is my recommendation to everybody listening.
Yeah. I feel like you talked to my wife before this. No, that's great advice, man. Cause I mean, I need that myself, to be honest, cause I'm constantly on the phone, as I'm sure you are. And you know, and then there is times that you don't spend enough time with the family, and well, it takes tolls.
Well, and so many times with our spouse, especially if they work with us in the business, we're talking to them face to face, eye to eye. And sometimes that makes it tough, you know, because it's like, it's aggressive and it's tough. And when you walk shoulder to shoulder, you know, it's a lot easier. You know, you put two bulls facing each other and they want to fight, they want to lock horns. But if you put them side by side and walk and talk, you can usually walk it off. So it's a good thing. It's been good to me. Hopefully maybe to be good to you guys too.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's probably the best nugget that I've heard in a long time. So that's good stuff. And
what are we doing this for, man?
I know.
To better our family, right? So
yeah.
If we can't put that first or somewhere in the top of the pile, right? We're missing something.
Yeah. No, I agree. Now you're making me want to go do cannonballs because I think my family just went swimming. So I'm like, man, I should go out there and go swimming with them. So
you can't hide money, man. You got a swimming pool in your backyard, right?
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. I appreciate you sharing that. And like you said, getting a little vulnerable there, but that's good stuff. So
much real stuff, man. That changed my life. So I had a great marriage, but it gets better if you start walking together. So give it a shot.
Good stuff. You guys heard that here first. So make sure you guys, guys, girls, all of you guys out there, make sure the family comes first. So, hey, we appreciate you hopping on here for the first official episode with our two sponsors up here, Quick Pool and Contractor Accelerator. And next week we are on actually with Contractor Accelerator. So if you guys are looking for a CRM program, Amanda, I don't know. I think it's Amanda's jumping on, or maybe Jennifer. I'm not sure which one, but one of the two is jumping on, and we're going to talk all things CRM, bidding, all that stuff. So if you guys are looking for something, hop on and they'll take care of you guys. So again, Caleb, appreciate your time, man.
I appreciate it. I applaud you for doing this. I'd love it if you'd send me the link for this, the recording link, and we'll post it up on our podcast as well. And hey, man, if the door's open, I'd love to come back. I like what you're doing. Yeah. Be happy to come and do it again.
Oh yeah. Anytime, man. If you're 2026 Fence Tech is in Indianapolis, my hometown. Okay,
that's close to home.
Yeah. So I heard that the other day and I was like, man, that's awesome. So, So come up and then we'll hang out and come up anytime between then. Stop by. Let me know.
Where is it? I'm going to go eat at Tony's. I want to go eat at Tony's, man.
Yeah.
Is Tony's down there?
Yeah. See, everybody always talks about Ruth Chris here. And obviously they want that shrimp cocktail sauce and stuff.
Well, Tony's was good. And then St. Elmo's. Isn't St. Elmo's there?
St. Elmo's, yep.
They say
St. Elmo's is really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Only one appetizer. So I'm looking forward to it.
Did you, and I know we're off topic and hopping off, but did you guys go to, what is it? I think it's called the Eagle's Nest. I think it's the Eagle's Nest.
No.
It's the very top floor of a hotel downtown. And it's pretty cool because it spins around as you're in there eating. So you get a view of the whole city. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So
it is nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
It's definitely not a bring the whole family to because it's about $100 a plate. But if you want a nice night for you and the wife, go ahead. So
there you go. That's pretty cool, man.
But yeah. Again, appreciate you being on, man, and I'll definitely send the invite out again and have you back on sometime. So,
fair enough, man. I'll
keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. Have a good one.
Yep, we'll see you. Hello, hello.